The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
And one more point. This bill will not, let me repeat this, this bill will not raise taxes on anybody making less than $400,000 a year.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll see. We'll see, right? That's the, of course, the president of the United States. Little audio from him this afternoon talking about the Inflation Reduction Act. Good afternoon. It's great to be with you. Thank you for hanging out with me. I love just about every other Friday. I think Peter joins me maybe the first and third Friday of the month. Peter Grandage is going to be stopping by. There's some big news when it comes to the economy, and I want to get you up to speed on everything from job numbers to inflation to interest rates to what your future is going to look like. So we'll get you plugged into that, and we still have a lot of other stuff to get into. I'll tell you about the White House being struck by lightning, or at least near it. And I'll give you some good news, too, coming up a little bit later, which I think is probably good to end our conversation with. But right now, you're welcome to get into. Don't forget, anytime you want to join, the number is 888-914-9149. And if you missed any of the conversation we had today, go to relevantradio.com, type in the word Drew or Drew Mariani Show, and you'll find all of our podcasts. Today's show will be up about an hour after we're off. And before I change gears, I just want to remind you of something else that Relevant Radio does every year. And that's team up with an organization called Free Will. I don't know if you did it last time this came around, but you know, I love Peter's look. Peter's always talking about the spiritual, you know, aspect of finance. Our Lord often preached about being good stewards of God's gifts, right? And a legal will guarantees that those important people in your life and everything that you really work so hard for will be taken care of according to your wishes and, of course, to your faith. Making your wills using Free Will, they say, is very easy. Just go to relevantradio.com/freewill. You can learn more. relevantradio.com/freewill. Again, absolutely free. I have no strings attached, so why not check it out, right? You might not want to pay an attorney right now. You know, my wife and I had our will done, I couldn't believe how many pages it was, right? I mean, there's so much you have to think about, and especially if you've got kids or maybe even grandkids or whatever it might be. So that'll be a great place to start. Check it out and get some security. You don't know the day or the hour, right? Hey, the Labor Department today came out with a new job report. And guess what? Let's talk some good news, right? For a change. They came out with some really good news. More than a half a million new jobs were added to the economy. I think the number I saw this morning was 526,000, which is double what the consensus, you know, what the expectation was. The majority of people thought it wouldn't be, you know, anywhere near that. So in response to it, what did you see today? Well, the markets, they didn't really go up. I thought they were going to tick north, right? Like they normally would have. In fact, the NASDAQ and the S&P 500, to my surprise, went down. The Dow managed to gain about 77 points. And I'll get Peter's assessment on why. I mean, why did the market react in that way? My understanding is that just part of the reason for the confusion is that a little bit later, traders are expecting the Fed to raise interest rates again, right? And you know, they're talking about another 75 basis points. You know, can you imagine that? Look how high interest rates have become. That'll affect the debt that you're carrying and so much more. But we can dive into that. And again, feel free to join us. If you've got a question or a concern or something you need to noodle through, we're here for you. One other issue here, too. Let's talk about strange things about the market. Well, one other thing, and I'll hit on this. Gas prices, you know, the price of gas is still up. Oil prices, though, they've plummeted with West Texas crude closing today around $88 a barrel, which is $34 below its high. Remember back in June, it was about $122. So that has been one volatile market. But that's good news, of course, for consumers. And I think we're all hoping to see, you know, that drastic drop reflected in the prices at the pump. But what's interesting is that the Energy Information Agency is claiming, the reason it's going down is simply because people are, you know, they stopped buying gas. It's supply and demand. We're not buying gas. And I talked about this earlier in the week. I kind of thought that was the reason. But here's what they're saying. They're saying on the same level, you know, the people aren't buying gas. They're not driving the same levels as the shutdown when the pandemic was underway. It doesn't make sense to me. My producer Maggie and Tom and I were talking about this morning in our show team meeting. We both said, are you seeing less cars on the road like you did during the pandemic? No, I'm seeing a lot of cars on the road. Remember those pictures, major highways? I remember seeing a shot of Chicago and this, the main thoroughways, which are normally clogged, were completely empty, right, in the middle of the day. That's not happening right now. So we'll find out what's going on with gas, how it's going to affect you, and more. I'm delighted to welcome back Peter Grandage, former Wall Street whiz kid. You can check him out and his incredible journey at his website, petergrandage.com. You can tap into his expertise. He provides guidance on matters of finance there, and you can read his book, Confessions of a Former Wall Street Whiz Kid. He'll get you connected to it. Peter, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Good to be back. And let me just add, for we are speaking about wills, people need to know, if you don't have one, the government will be left to decide what happens with your assets. And the last time I looked, I don't think most people want the government doing anything for them, let alone deciding who gets what after you've left. So whatever that service you're offering, I would encourage your listeners to take advantage of it.
You know, the other thing, too, on that point, just as a side note, I think last year Relevant did this, and they do it again. They offer this free will service for people who want to check it out. There's nothing that divides a family more than money. And I've seen so many other families, when it comes to not having a will or things not specified, I've seen brother turn against sister. You know, we've seen unbelievable division, aunts against nephews. I mean, it's just, it's pretty wild. But if you have a will, you can pretty much specify how you want things distributed, who gets what, why. There's no arguments over it. It all just gets executed. So I think you want to keep the peace in your family when you're gone. That might be a good thing to do. Hey, Peter, on another note, help me understand the confusion here. I mean, I look at certain things and expect certain things, and you know, that's not the case. I know you're skeptical, to say the least, about job numbers. You know, markets think they're right. You think they're wrong. Fill me in on these numbers. 500,000, 25, what's the actual number? 526? 526,000 jobs, I think we're at it, something like that. What's going on? Fill me in.
I can hear you now. Sorry, Drew.
All right. No problem, Peter.
So, Drew, I wrote a report this afternoon. Its heading is Something Smells Rotten, but it's in D.C., not Denmark. And I put up a chart, and it's a very important thing for people to grasp. Since March of 2022, we've seen the payroll surveys rise, but we've actually seen a loss of jobs based on the household survey. So I've often stated to people and on your show that the household survey versus the highly suspect payroll survey is a better decider on what's really happening with jobs. And understand that in the payroll survey, they can do, first of all, they can create jobs. Today, there was a whopping 309,000 jobs that come out with something that the government calls the birth death adjustment. They just make an assessment based on how many people died and how many people were born, how many new jobs should have been created by that factor. Now, there's no such fudging in the household survey. What was real interesting in today's numbers is that the record of multiple job holders hit an all-time high. And that means, so when, say you and I had to have two or three jobs, or full-time job, three part-time jobs, they count that as three people employed when it's really one person employed. And most people don't have a second or third job unless they really need to have to. They don't do it for the fun of it. So this great discrepancy really sets up something interesting. We now have had two quarters of negative GDP growth, and this administration would like to change the rules of physics and say, well, that isn't a recession, and we'll leave that for another argument for other people to argue. Right. But I've never seen where we have a strong labor market while we have a shrinking economy. It's the first in my 38-year careers. And interesting enough, the gains of 528,000 came with a labor force participation rate actually falling. So what that clearly tells you is many of the new jobs went to people already that had jobs, and sure enough, the vast majority of the increase was based on people who added or took two part-time jobs in lieu of one full-time job. So it's highly suspect, but it does make headlines, and it does, you know, give people thoughts on you know, what may or may not be happening. But I will tell you that it won't be long. It'll be a couple more months. And then when they do the big revisions, you're going to come back and hear that this number will be greatly lowered, in my opinion.
So labor participation, why aren't more people getting into, why aren't people going for jobs? COVID is pretty much behind us. I mean, people have it in the rearview mirror, I would think, now. I know many people are still concerned. There's variants, et cetera, but it's not crippling like it was in the past. People are ready to move on, and yet we see labor participation data. Is it because the government's handing way too much money out? We got our CHIP program. We've got all this this big government spending. I mean, what is it that's not motivating people to get back to work, even though these numbers look like, you're saying it's people taking two jobs. So what's going on with those who don't want to get back into the job market?
Let's just take an example, and I'm not saying this is the entire cause, but it is part of what you just brought up. Here in the state of New Jersey, a study was recently done, and it was shown that for the most part, between housing assistant, food assistant, prescription, health insurance given by the state and all, you would get equal to what almost $43,000 you would have to earn in order to pay for that if you had to pay for it.
Wow.
So realistically, a person looks, and if you need $43,000 to pay all that, so you probably have to earn $55,000 or $60,000 before taxes, somebody sits and goes, I don't know. I'd rather get in the wagon and let somebody pull the wagon instead of me being someone that pulls the wagon.
Right.
And there are a whole list of other reasons for that. But what's most important in this is that those on Wall Street who were already, getting back to, hey, the worst is behind us, the Fed will be back to giving monetary heroin and Kool-Aid before too long. It's one of the reasons the interest rates had declined and the market had rallied.
Mm-hmm.
This number, however they got to it and whether or not it stands up, certainly is not going to be favorable for that view. And that's probably why you're going to see interest rates continue to rise, even though the economy is slowing down. And while inflation, the number that they use, the CPI, which is a very poor gauge for real inflation, but nevertheless, that's what the government uses, we can never cap rising inflation rate until we have interest rates higher than whatever the inflation rate is. That's what we call real rates. And the thought that somehow we're going to get back to 2%. I just think that's foolhardy. I think we're going to have to get accustomed to an interest rate at least, an inflation rate at least twice as high as that.
Wow.
We have too many other things that are happening that go against inflation going lower again. And the biggest, of course, and the biggest difference between inflation now than when the last time we faced it in the 70s and the early 80s is then it was just demand, weakened demand and everything got weak and inflation dropped. But the bigger part of the inflation equation now is the supply strain and shortage. And I can tell you the things that are happening politically, especially now with China, if you thought there were shortages before, during the pandemic, you just watch. I think that's a much bigger problem, going to last a lot longer, and that's why I think that's why there's hesitant now. And maybe the Dow was up a little today, Nasdaq was down, but I don't see how you can, for a whole host of other political and geopolitical stuff that we've talked about in the past, I don't see how you can expect interest rates to go lower and the stock market to go a lot higher anytime soon.
Yeah, that's another good point. There's been talk about supply chain issues, but the Biden administration's claimed credit for easing the backlog of cargo ships at Los Angeles and at Long Beach, where a lot of our imports come in. But the problem merely shifted. It shifted east, and the cargo jam is now, they're saying, at record levels on the East Coast ports. I know you join me from New York. The offshore traffic jam is bad as it's ever been, they say. I was reading a report, the American Shipper, and I think it was yesterday morning I saw this. There were something like 153 cargo ships backlogged on U.S. coasts. So, is the problem going to get worse, and what's that going to mean? Already, I know people are waiting a very long time to get their products.
Well, Drew, you also have now that there's many areas in the world where those countries are struggling to secure their own needs of goods and services. And there's not an oversupply of it. And let's not forget, and I said this many, many times, we got through the 2008 financial crisis because China held us up. They were, you know, the economy was real strong. They were able to provide liquidity into the market. China itself has a lot of internal problems that have not been seen before, or at least got to the level where publicly it could be seen. And they're having struggles both on the real estate and they continue this insanity of thinking zero COVID is going to somehow work and so forth. I think it's a way of suppressing their people and keeping them down so they can't, you know, get angry as, you know, they're doing through the real estate market right now. So there are a whole lot of issues, and we're still, again, goes back to what the good Lord warned us in the book from day one, is we're a country that's continuing to piling up debt, both on the federal, state, corporate level, individual level, and there's not a positive verse in the manual of life, the Holy Bible. You and I have had this discussion since I've known you, and it's only getting worse, not getting better. So all these things, I think, add up to caution is, I think, the best avenue for most people to travel. And it's not a popular thing on Wall Street, because remember, the vast majority of financial advisors have only been licensed since the last financial crisis. They were really weaned and learned to drive on a one-way street. Now traffic is at least two ways, if not a lot of traffic circles, and I don't think yet they're prepared to learn how to get through those traffic without major hiccups.
Gotcha. Let's grab a call or two. If you want to join us, the number here is 888-914-9149. Put that in your speed dial. Feel free to use it, and feel free to join the conversation. 888-914-9149. We'll start in Sparks, Nevada. Donna is listening to us there. Hi, Donna.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was told to keep it short, and I'm going to do that. Okay, in 21, I was 76 years old. I separated from a large chain grocery store. The LGBTQIA during the Lent decided to come after me because I was Catholic. And they accused me of a lot of things. What they accused me of, number one, was I was going to come after them with the biggest one I could find. What they wrote in that statement, the biggest one was the crucifix. I got really upset. I said, excuse me, I'm a Catholic practicing woman. That is blasphemy. I do not speak like that. And that is not true.
Donna, no, go ahead. I just want to get to your financial question for Peter, your financial point. What's going on?
Yes, the point is, I've been waiting with unemployment since July 19, 2021.
Wow.
And I will not get a hearing, any money or anything, until my hearing date comes up. It could be October or December, I was told today. Okay. And because of that, she said, you're one of 43,000 in Nevada.
Wow.
2 months ago, it was 33,000 that are waiting for money. Okay, guys, thank you. I love your program. I love the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I love the Rosary with you guys all the time, 24/7.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for taking
God bless
my call.
You. And we'll say a prayer for you. I'll try to remember you over the weekend when I spend time with the Lord that unemployment comes through. So my takeaway, Peter, from what Donna said, she's been on unemployment for a long time waiting to get compensated. And the numbers used to be about 39,000 now, and now they're up another 4,000 or 5,000 people. So more and more people hitting the dulls. What's going on? Is this recession causing a retraction? I saw that Walmart, because of their numbers, had to lay people off. Are we going to see greater layoffs in the not-too-distant future? We're going to see unemployment on the rise?
Yeah. I first of all, I think, as I said, because there's I think the household survey is a more realistic what is happening in the economy. We've had already great announcements from major companies of seeing workforces decrease. So I think you'll see this retracted and lowered, and the coming months go higher in terms of that. People will talk about a soft landing, that somehow we won't, if we go, the recession is mild, it doesn't stay that long. The problem I get back to is this, and I think the discussion that you'll be having with, or be hearing about, especially as we get into 2023, is the wealth effect. You know, we've had a serious correction in the stock market. The Kool-Aid was clearly taken away. You know, we had to spend $10 trillion extra dollars in less than a decade just to keep things going, and just can't keep doing that. We've seen the low in interest rates. We're not going to see zero interest rates again, because inflation doesn't just come and disappear anytime soon. Now the last place, and of course we had the biggest, you know, the biggest thing that I disliked in my entire career, the tulip mania of the 21st century, the cryptocurrencies. We've seen so many people wiped out in that. But the last place where there was wealth is now turning down, and this news will actually help accelerate it, because it's going to keep interest rates higher and make housing even more unaffordable. And the real estate market is finally, you know, seeing a turn down. So I just think when we get through the end of the year, and you know, holidays are over, and people get into 2023, we're going to see that since before the pandemic, most people have gone sideways to backwards. Governments owe more, have more difficulties, you know, working together, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And now we have far more geopolitical problems that most of these 22-year-old internet guru sensations who were telling everybody what to do a year or 18 months ago, their only problem they really faced up to then was an algebra class a couple of years ago. The geopolitical stuff that's happening now, and the formation of the BRIC countries, the likelihood that Russia and China and others are going to introduce an alternative currency to the dollar. There are so many things that have to be taken into equation that I don't even think a lot of financial advisors know how to understand that and all. So I just think it's going to be a big challenge for investors for as far out as the eye can see.
My guest today is Peter Greenidge. Peter, stay with me if you can. I'd love to talk to you a little bit more, and I'd love to hear from you, too. How are you doing out there? I know gas can be tough. I saw a report that said 61% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, and with inflation hitting Americans hard across the board, what's the future look like? We're tapping into the expertise of Peter Greenidge. When I come back, I'll grab your calls. Peter used to be bullish on gold. I want to find out if you still are, because gold is down. So much still to talk about. We'll take a look at what's happening on Capitol Hill, too. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society. Not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with me. It's going to be another classic tune, huh? It's The Weeknd. Play some music, kick back, relax. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, if you're just joining me, I'm just trying to get a sense of where we are as a country right now, and economically especially, right? I mean, things, I sat back and said, where was I 2 years ago? Where were you 2 years ago? You know, when it came to the amount of money you're putting in your gas can, the employment that you had, your debt that you were carrying, I mean, where were you 2 years ago? Where are we now, and where are we heading? That's really the most important question. You know, we have this boondoggle, that's what I'll call it, this Inflation Reduction Act, that is being pushed right now. It's a goodie bag of green corporate handouts, right? It encompasses that same tax and spend hijinks that were part of that original Build Back Better failure. You know, spending money, more money, is you know, you can't use inflation to get out of inflation. You can't spend more to get out of inflation. And as a result of it, I think this is what we're seeing right now. I saw a stat that said 61% of Americans are actually living paycheck to paycheck. That was recent data from the Lending Club. It showed that, you know, 6 out of 10 Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. This is the United States of America. The number includes 36% of them who earn more than 200K a year, more than 200 grand a year, living paycheck to paycheck. So as inflation continues its upward swing, I think a lot of people are finding it more difficult just to manage spending. They're eating into their spendings as financial pressures mount. And I shared with you the other day a stat. I saw $16 billion in personal credit card debt. I mean, Americans are relying on their credit cards to get by. So I we're here to help. I just want to give you a perspective. I think the first and most important thing is a proper perspective on money, our relationship to it. To be debt-free really is, if you can achieve it, means true freedom. And here to help us sort through all this. We'll take your calls on everything from gold to investment to the economy to gas with Peter Grandage, the Wall Street Whiz Kid. Oh, I should correct myself. He calls himself the former Wall Street Whiz Kid. You can check him out at petergrandage.com. And this is his area of expertise. Peter, thanks for being back. I want to jump on the phone. There's a lot of people waiting. But before I do, I want your take on the fact that 6 out of 10 people are living paycheck to paycheck, and a third of those, more than a third of those, earn over $200,000 a year.
Well, that one is the real classic to prove my argument. I've told you that for years in our planning group, from working class people all the way up to the professional athletes I worked with, 6 or 7 out of 10 people live at least one financial level before, above where their finances support. Because a person that be making 60 or 70 go, how is somebody making $200,000 and living paycheck to paycheck? Because they're living in more expensive homes than they needed to be. They're carrying more debt than they need to be, et cetera, et cetera. And that 60%, how about this? 1 out of 2 only have $1,000 or less saved for a rainy day, emergencies of that nature. And there's only currently right now $71,500 in the average 401k for retirement. And you're not going to get by on that. So,
how much?
Like,
what was that number again?
$71,500, according to Vanguard, wow, is in the average 401k plan. Now, I don't know if that was before this correction. It might have been even before this correction, so it might even be less, but even if, whatever it was. And wow, it just goes, and again, you know what I live for. I go back, and it's not very popular, and very few people want to hear it. I go back to the best financial book that was ever created. It happens to be the best book ever created, period. It's the Manual of Life, our Bible.
Amen. And
positive comment. In all of Scripture, you can bring on all theologians, they'll tell you about debt. In fact, God warns about it. And that is something that we face on every level. And here we got now a bill coming out that supposedly, as you started this top of the show, where if you only make, you don't have to worry about it, trust me, you will, because you can't spend something you don't have and then expect not to have someone have to pay a price for that.
Right.
And so, I you know, I've always philosophies, less is more. I lose more potential clients than gaining by stressing that to people. But those that follow it will always tell you, especially once they've lowered their debt or actually eliminated, there's a peace of mind that comes with it that's phenomenal. And then, of course, the last missing piece, which a lot of people struggle to do with, especially when things get tough, is we need to be tithers. And if we do that, life just becomes a lot easier. I can just tell you, after 40 years, and, you know, you always say to what Pete says, the former Wall Street Whiz Kid. Well, the reason I say the former is because I made and lost millions not once but twice. So how can I call myself a whiz kid? But I use all this experience and what I've learned from the good book and the teachings of our church, and hopefully people won't be too late to not get caught up in this worldly, non-spiritual way people are living when it comes to money.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, let's grab a few calls, Peter. I want to get some of the people who are patiently waiting to join us. Steve's listening in Huntington Beach, California. Steve, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey, I have a question. I'm 70 years old, and I've been through a lot of these sessions, and there was a dictionary that I kept from my birth.
Mm-hmm.
And it said inflation at the time was defined as a growth in money supply. And now they change around and eggs. But I think that's where we need to go back to. But the real question I have is, I think with the bonds being so low, behind like 60% in stocks, 100% in bonds and gold rather than bonds, you have a stable portfolio come what may. What do you say about that?
Thanks. Peter, did you make that out?
Yeah, I got most of it. First of all, you're right. In the good old days, especially when we were a creditor nation, we were the world's creditor nation when I started in this business, money supply played a key role. And, of course, that was one of the ways that the Fed could control inflation by slamming the brakes on it. That's what Volcker did. But this inflation problem is much bigger, and it's more impacted by supply issues and people, too many people chasing too few products. And you can cut demand, but if there's still not an ample supply, inflation is going to hang around. Drew, I don't like cookie cutter stuff. I don't like saying, well, you should be 60% this and 30%, because no two people, not even husbands and wives, look at investments in the same manner. So I don't like to give a number out. I will tell you this, because of the challenges that I think we face and the somewhat spoiled we were of an extraordinary returns for a lot of years, I think the older someone is, the less they should count on returns anything close that's been out there. And protection of principal is probably far more important now than it was 10 or 20 years ago. And so I would say to them, I would rather gamble on far less chances of things going up than being overly leveraged to what we think are going to be large gains, and then if they don't happen. And can I add one thing, Drew?
Sure, please.
This is something that so few on Wall Street understand and ever get across to investors. Mental anguish. When I lost my money, the financial ramifications were far easier to get over than the mental anguish of it. And I watch too many people, and especially when I meet the household person in charge, it more times than not is the man, and he doesn't include the wife and family in the decisions. And then because they're now stressed because they got into situations that are impacting their everyday life at home and all, it's impacting everything, their relationships with their children, their families, how they get up, how they go to sleep, and drugs they need to get to sleep, and all that kind of stuff. These are all the things that the typical financial service industry doesn't take into account in any type of way, because it's sometimes politically incorrect to do so. But what I've witnessed now, after this decline, the leverage and type of people that I'm hearing from who are not just extended but have been critically impacted financially is causing such mental strain. And that's where I think we need to err on the side of caution. Hope a guy like me, even though I always tell you hope is a horrible investment strategy, it's the best spiritual strategy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, hope that a guy like me is wrong and things get better. But be prepared for the downside. There is as much downside risk as there's upside potential, but you would never know that watching most financial commercials.
That's so true. Hey, Steve, thanks. Your signal is a little tough to hear, so I'm going to move along. Before I get to the next call, though, Peter, I want to follow up on something in terms of, you know, he's talking about investing in gold as opposed to bonds, things along those lines. You've always been bullish on gold. Gold is down to about $1,790 an ounce right now. Are you still strong on that, or where do you stand on gold?
Well, not always, but I can tell you I've committed a very large sum of money, especially when it got weak here and was below $1,700. I will just tell people this. It's an insurance policy, but you're never going to hear the mainstream Wall Street that makes a living selling financial assets talk to you about something that really is not going to do well if financial assets do well. In fact, they're going to treat it like kryptonite. I don't want people to run out and buy a gold stock or buy a gold bar simply because, you know, they think something is going wrong. I look at it as capital appreciation, but I can tell you this, the difference now than any other time in my 38-year career. Because I am so convinced, and we now see the BRIC nations of Both India has publicly stated, as well as Russia and China, that they're about to introduce a new currency. They're going to move away from the dollar.
Wow,
and they've been
scary.
Such buyers of gold. I suspect whatever they do introduce is going to have a gold component in it.
Wow.
So they can look at that compared to the dollar, which has nothing backing it. And there, that's when I think the real higher, much higher prices of gold will come from. But I don't think people should just run out because they heard a guy on the radio talking about that and run out there. I will make one point I don't think I've maybe discussed once or twice with you. One resource which is desperately needed and has seen a 180-degree turn both by investment people as well as politicians, and that's uranium, because people now realize nuclear energy must be a significant part of future providing of energy if we're going to have anything close to this new EV world, you know, and all this stuff that's electrical. And here in the U.S., on our current nuclear plants, not ones that may be built in the future, those plants use about 50 million pounds of uranium a year. The United States right now produces almost zero on its own. So another lesson that we're going to have to be, and people didn't like this when Trump talked about it, but he happened to be right about that part, is we need to become more dependent and more concerned about ourselves and you know, then where else we're going to look for the get stuff. And I think between the pandemic and now this unfortunate Ukrainian war, which clearly, Drew, here's a prediction of mine. You know I'm not in the prediction game. Europe is not about going to go when the first cold front hits and people can't even, right now, you can't even, in Spain, they want you to keep at 80 degrees. Germany is at points where they're cutting off already. It's not even, you know, it's still 100 degrees out. People are not going to, if they believe that a settlement in that part of the world will get them their heat that they need in the winter, they're going to demand the settlement. So in the end, I think, and hopefully, there'll be a forced settlement in. And Europe needs to get back to Russia, whether they like it or not, being an energy supplier, until such time they can find alternatives. And let's not forget, they were given a great opportunity. They could have purchased natural gas from us, but you know, they were pretty mad with Trump and didn't like the idea of, you know, having to deal with him. But I think that if they had to do it over again, I think they would change their minds.
Let's go back to the phones. My guest, Peter Grandage, sharing some of his wisdom and his forethought with you. Christina is listening in Mountain View, California. Christina, good afternoon.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, and thank you, Peter, for your wisdom. You stated earlier in the program about the labor force participation rate, and your insight was very interesting, that the labor force participation rate, even though the number of jobs created increased, the labor force participation rate fell, which indicated that the existing workers are taking additional jobs. Now, that's a statistic that is never going to show up or be publicized, in my opinion, in the mainstream media. So most Americans will never know that. But I'd like to know, Peter, your opinion with the falling prices of gas, because people are cutting back. What do you see happening in the next few months that will affect the midterms and the upcoming elections? I say this because Republicans are often very strong when issues affect a person's pocketbook. And as gas prices fall and people become accustomed to inflation, they might not get out and vote. So, thank you.
Thank you.
So, the first point is probably the most important thing you said, which is what I talked about today in my report, and I'm glad you're able to see that. That is one of the reasons we had that number today, because we literally have people having to take an additional job, and people only take an additional job because they need to, not because they want to, nine times out of ten at least. And we've also continued to see productivity declining, and that's another sign that inflation is still here and likely to, you know, be here for quite a while. In terms of trying to see what gas prices and all, you know, people can be out there and guess that. What I will say is this. I think, and one of the reasons that led me to become so bearish at the end of last year that I felt I shouldn't own any general equities that weren't related to commodities or bonds is that not only is America in its worst ever economic, social, and political era, and I was saying that 18 months ago before it came obvious, but I think if the Republicans win the House, at least, I just think the infighting is just going to just drag on and get even worse. And that's the big problem, Drew. We haven't seen, from a business standpoint, a lot of my clients are small to mid-sized businesses. If you talk to anybody in any type of industry that's in a small or mid-sized business, 98 out of 100 are going to tell you it's never been tougher to run a small business for a whole lot of reasons. Wow. And small businesses were the backbone to this economy. And I don't see any middle ground. I don't see if we do face suddenly a terrible crisis, whether it's a financial or otherwise, I don't see the parties able to go in a room anymore and work out anything that would be, you know, somewhat satisfying or hopefully doable. And so I just think that no matter what happens in November, it's going to be business as usual in terms of a lot of arguing, a lot of back and forth charges and claims, but very little good stuff getting done, especially for middle America at a time when, as us, as a whole, hopefully most people listening to Relevant Radio, it's becoming much more difficult to practice our faith, to speak out about our faith, and also we're seeing the lifestyle and all that people are living go against our faith. Listen, Drew, I left and lost a very lucrative part of my life dealing with our athletes for 20 years because I decided where they decided to go and how teams wanted to act and what they got behind and all was in direct conflict of my faith. But more and more people who are people of faith are facing that because wokeism is just run amok. And, you know, that's another big thing that I think is going to, you know, see battles if and when hopefully Republicans at least take the House because it can't continue this way. It's becoming much more difficult to live our lives, whether as our Protestant brothers or us Catholics, in a country where it's become more and more challenging, where if you even speak out about that, I can't tell you how much criticism I received from a certain segment of people when I wrote publicly how we shouldn't be tying social issues into sports. People went to those stadiums to get away for a few hours from all the things that was happening outside the stadium. And now in the stadium itself, it's just as bad, if not worse. And by the way, Drew, before they kick the first season off, I want you to publicly commit whether or not you're a Packer or an Eagle fan. I don't want you playing both sides again for another year.
Give me a little time to think about it. I happen to broadcast at Bear Country, so and a lot of other cities, too.
Oh, you got that now going for you. Okay.
I got a lot going on, Peter. Peter, thanks for being here. I am so grateful. Let me, before we wrap it up, I want to put a big plug in for petergranage.com. That's your website. I know you send out an email. I get it as well, and I would encourage others to do it. Best way to get a hold of you, is that it, petergranage.com?
Yeah, petergranage.com. And as I told Maggie in the break, your wife had me look at your will. You're out of it.
I love it. Peter, we'll catch up. We'll talk sports soon as preseason's right around the corner. My thanks to Peter Grandage. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
You don't even know. I can make your hands clap. There you go. Getting you in the mood. Kick off your weekend. Good to be with you. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for hanging out. Check out Peter Grandage at his website, petergrandage.com. And, of course, check out the show. If you're new to this program, I want to welcome Seattle to the family, too. It's good to have you tuned into us as well. I know you've only been listening for a couple days now, but I often say when I go into any new, what we call in the radio business, a market, you know, any new city or area, You know, give us a little bit of time. So KLFEAM, 1590 AM in Seattle, Washington. It's good to have you in the family. My show's a mixed bag. And, you know, I pray the chaplet in the middle of the afternoon, in the middle of the show. And I look at everything, you know, that's happening in the culture. It's a current event news-driven show. I try to apply a moral lens. I happen to be Catholic, so my framework, my vision is based on the Catholic principles of my faith and on the teachings of the church. And we can look at everything from finance to health to politics that way, and you're going to get a different look here. It won't be your partisan radio. I'm not going to wave a Democratic flag. I'm not going to wave a Republican flag. I want to wave my Catholic flag, and there are issues that cross both sides of the aisle. So if you're new and you say, I kind of like what this guy says, or that was kind of an interesting program, set your radio, you know, mark down that web link that you're listening to, download that mobile app, or maybe do someone a favor if you've been listening a while. Make people aware of the show, all right? Say, hey, you got to check out the Drew Mariani Show in the afternoon. Of course, we got a great lineup all throughout the day here at Relevant Radio, and you can always tap into our archives and download any podcast you want. If you want to say, oh, I got to share that with so-and-so, he's got to hear this, just go to my podcast, relevantradio.com, keyword, I think it's Drew or Drew Mariani Show. You'll find it. You can download stuff there. Hey, there's a couple news stories I want to run by very quickly. You know, lightning, right? I don't know what to make of this story, to be honest with you. And I know we all joke a lot of times about God striking people down with lightning. You know, I remember the Vatican got struck, but it actually happens, and it's not really much of a joke anymore. There was a thunderstorm near the White House yesterday. I don't know if you heard this, and lightning struck. It struck near Lafayette Park. Believe it or not, it hit four people. Lightning struck four people. Turned out two of them were killed. The other two are in critical condition in a local hospital right now. So I'm going to ask you to pray. You don't know the day. You do not know the hour. God can take us home anyway. But let me share a little bit more with you on this story. This comes from ABC News.
Overnight, at least four people were hospitalized with life-threatening injuries after they were apparently struck by lightning near the White House.
I saw at least four people lying on the ground, and medics were giving them artificial respiration, literally jumping on their hearts.
The victims, all in Lafayette Square, standing near the Andrew Jackson statue when a storm rolled through.
Off to the left of the statue as you're looking towards the White House.
Members of the Secret Service and Park Police jumping into action.
Immediately began to render aid to the four victims, which is very critical in helping with survivability.
One expert describes the lightning strike as a six-stroke flash, meaning that six individual surges of electricity hit the same spot within half a second.
Yeah, it's a strange story. It really is quite a strange story, but four people dead as a result of a lightning strike. Let me share with you some good news on the other end of that, right? We're all worried about what's happening in the environment, right? I worry about the world's oceans. There's a giant patch. They call it the giant Pacific plastic or garbage patch that, based on currents and everything, have created this swath, this major area of trash in the Pacific Ocean. And all that plastic breaks down. It turns into microplastic. It gets ingested by fish. You end up eating it. They're finding plastic at the deepest levels of the oceans, the Mariana Trench and places like that. It's just tragic. You hear these horrible stories. You also see the death of many of our reefs. And I'm thinking, that's just not good. Water temperatures are changing, and these reefs are dying. A little bit of good news. The Great Barrier Reef in Australia, and I would love to dive this reef one day. Two-thirds of the Great Barrier Reef in Australia, they're reporting today, has grown to the highest amount of coral coverage in the past 36 years. CNBC reported that the northern and the central parts of the reef have experienced a recovery, while the southern region has lost coral due to what they call a crown of thorn starfish outbreaks. And that was according to, I think, the Australian Institute of Marine Science. Here's a little bit more on this story.
Conditions over the last couple of years have really been conducive to recovery of the reef, despite the fact that we've had a couple of mass bleaching events. And in the north and the central Great Barrier Reef, we've seen the highest levels of percent hard coral cover that we've recorded in 36 years of monitoring. And that, I guess that's kind of counterbalanced by a small decline in the Southern Great Barrier Reef, which is due to crown of thorns starfish outbreaks.
There you have it. A little good news. But you know, look, let's be good stewards of the environment. Try not to pollute. Try to reduce your plastics, right? Try to recycle if you can. It's an important thing to do. There's lots of little ways we can make sacrifices. And the Earth is an amazing thing. It has a way of healing itself if we give it the time. And that was great news. I've been following those stories about those reefs, and the thought of them dying off is such a loss. They're magnificent creations, really reflections of God's beauty. But looks like that one's coming back. That's good news. Hey, feel free to join me every afternoon here. I am on the air from noon to 3 Pacific time, 3 to 6 Eastern, 2 to 5 Central, and everywhere in between. And tell others, as I said, about the radio program. I am out of time for the day. Kale Clark is coming straight up. Tim Marie will follow. And, of course, you can pray the rosary with Father Rocky at 7 p.m. Central. I hope you have a good weekend. I intend on enjoying mine. I will remember you, though, in my prayers this weekend. I'd ask you to do the same for me. I'm praying about something and just looking for God's guidance on it. If you could help me, I'd appreciate that. Until next time, may you have a blessed weekend.